So who with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 80. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show with just the guys. Because this week it's all about the trailer. You know what trailer was. The one that came out on Monday that was just kind of amazing and we've all watched it a million times. But as always, I am Mikey B and joined by my co-host, Caitlin.
Ooh, hello.
Hey Caitlin, how you doing? Welcome back.
Good, you?
I'm doing good.
Thank you.
A little late today. I was busy. Ben, welcome back. How are you doing today, Ben?
I'm good. I've even been later than you, so you don't need to feel bad.
I know. We're waiting on you, so it's all right. And we have this week joining us, Brack. How are you doing today, Brack?
I'm good. Thank you.
Welcome. We're excited to have you on here, because you know what we're talking about today, Brack?
We're talking about the trailer.
Exactly. Yeah. We're talking about the trailer for The Last Jedi. But before all that, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free, including Princess Leia, or Leia, Princess of Alderaan, or the Phasma book. And I will tell you, the Phasma book is absolutely phenomenal. We talked about Inferno Squad last week, but the Phasma book, I think I'm actually probably the most thing I'm most excited for in the new film is to see Phasma, because you've learned so much about her. So check it out. It's really cool. We've also launched our Patreon. So check us out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Some perks include a Discord chat. Join us in our recording studio and record live. Movie nights, where you can watch. Right now we have episode 1 and 2, and we're going to be doing the Clone Wars movie soon, and After Dark episodes. And guess what? We might just bring you on the show like we did with Brack today, because it's the trailer. Come on, it's the trailer talk. If you can't afford to support us via Patreon, it's okay. We have awesome merch for sale, t-shirts and button packs on our website, so check that out, resistanceradio.net. That might be a really cool t-shirt to wear till, you know, that showing on December 14th saying The Last Jedi, support the Resistance, Resistance Radio. I don't know. Anyway, I think it's time for the news. So, some important news came out this week. We got a new Rebels clip. No. We'll get to the really big news in a minute. You all know what's coming up. We've talked about it like 10 times already. But a new Rebels clip came out with the return of Bo-Katan, who was a former Death Watch member. You may remember her from the Clone Wars. And it's a really interesting clip that came out because, again, Rebels starts up this month, the 16th to be exact. So in 2 days from today's recording and a day from tomorrow's episode release. What do you think about this, Caitlin? Because I know you went through all of Clone Wars and all of Rebels recently.
I did. Actually, I kind of been waiting for her to come back because she, like, we saw her and then we just never heard from her again. And I felt like her story never quite ended. So I'm hoping we get more than just that one clip where she lands and then takes off and that's it. I hope we get a little bit more backstory into that.
I think they will, because I feel like in the clip we saw, like, Ezra kind of respond and Like oh, the Jedi, you know, like, again, her sister was the one who Obi-Wan was in love with, too. So, like, there's, like, all these little triangles, like, little threads there, too. So, I'm really excited to see where we talked about. Like, I'm super excited for Rebels to come back, and it's going to be two-part episodes every single episode day that it's released. So, it's going to be awesome. Did anyone else get a chance to take a look at the clip? Caitlin, you were going to say something. You can go.
Nope. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, Sabine seems really keen to get rid of that Darksaber.
Yeah.
And if I had that, I'd be holding on to it pretty tightly, because that thing's cool.
Well, I think she also doesn't want to lead it. Like, she's like, I'm not the leader.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand why she is, and it just makes me respect her more, because she understands what responsibility is associated with it. Mm-hmm. And that just shows the strength of her character, that she, like, I'd prefer to see a person give up power
than
when they don't want it or they don't feel like they're capable of it than, you know, you always see, like, the greedy, maniacal ones that want all the power.
Unlimited power!
Sorry, that's a bad impression of you-know-who. Okay, anyway. Moving on, next bit of news. So, tickets and trailer were released on Monday. We're going to talk about the trailer.
Released on Monday?
That this past Monday it happened. Yes, it been. I'm the one with the bad jokes. But let's okay. let's talk about tickets. Did everyone get their ticket to the midnight showing?
Yeah, except they're not.
Or it's a 7 p.m. showing.
They're not at midnight anymore. I got a 7 p.m. I'm a little disappointed. My IMAX theater doesn't have fan
after. Oh. But you still got the 7 o'clock one. So did you get a ticket at 7 and 10?
No. I can't do 10 p.m. on Thursday or next day.
We're all getting like, it's time for bed. That's actually why they don't do midnights, because most of us are like, it's time for bed already. I'll see it the next day. All right, so you got a 7 p.m. Caitlin, what about you?
No, because I live in a place where that is not a thing.
Yay, proud of you.
Yeah, well, if you live in a place where the wind hurts your face, there's not a lot of people, so.
You live on Hoth?
Makes a lot of things easier. Yes, I do live in Hoth.
Canada, not Hoth, okay. Anyway, Ben, did you get your ticket in Texas?
Oh, yeah, and we have an IMAX dome here, so.
That's kind of awesome.
I'm going to see nothing but the screen. I'm very excited. It's going to be great.
So pour salt in that wound.
So, yeah, you want to hear salt in this wound? So I'm going to tell you something about this. So I was here's my ticket story, and I'm going to tell you what ended up happening. This is my ticket story, all right? And I've conveniently haven't told anyone this, because I need to get this off my chest. And if you don't want to hear Mikey's ticket story, you can probably fast forward like the next 3 to 5 minutes. Sorry,
we'll people. Throw a timestamp in.
Okay, yeah, just like skip over the Mikey rant here. So tickets are supposed to go on sale at halftime during the football game, the Vikings game, right? Now, I'm not a sports ball person. I will be honest with you. I'm not a sports person. You see, I call it sports ball, not football. And it's American football, not soccer.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, right? So I'm not a sports person, but I knew the game started at 8:30, and I did my research. So usually about an hour to an hour and a half in is when halftime would be. So that's when tickets would go on sale, and that's when, the trailer would air. So I was all ready to be able to do that. I worked till 8 o'clock. So I was like, cool, I'm going to be home. I'll have my computer up. I'll be able to get tickets. And of course, like last year and the year before, I was going to be buying a bunch of tickets for friends. Because there's nothing better than seeing like a movie you love with surrounded by people that, you like, right? So I was planning to buy about 37 tickets is what my goal was what I was told to buy. I said, okay, no problem. Well, I'm in my car. It's 8:15. And a friend calls me, hey, did you get our tickets yet? I'm like, the game hasn't even started yet. They won't go on sale for a while. He's like, no, Cinemark released the tickets already. I drove to Cinemark right then there, and they refused to sell them in person. They said, you have to do it online because tickets are going so fast. I pull up my phone, and probably more than 75% of the theater had been taken.
Whoa. Ooh.
Yeah. And this is not even, it's not even 8:30 yet at the Cinemark. And I'm like, what? I was supposed to have like an hour in time. I was supposed to have time to be able to reload my gift card and everything. So I start talking to him. I'm a little upset at this point. I'm like, I need tickets to the first showing. Like I'm okay to get like the really bad seats for myself, but I'm not going to buy, there wasn't even 37 seats left, like to say the least. And then I started looking at the later times, but as I looked, like the 9 o'clock actually was sold out already. Because I guess people were going to go after work, so the 7 o'clock was easier to get tickets to. I could have got tickets to like 11:35 for everybody. So I start talking to the manager. I'm a little upset. Like tickets weren't supposed to go. Like, oh, we're sorry, but whatever. I get it. They said, well, how many tickets were you trying to buy? And I told them 37. They're like, oh, do you just want to rent an entire theater? And I said, really? What? You want to just rent an entire theater? I'm like, how much would it be? They're like, oh, it's going to be this much. And I do the math. I'm like, okay. So. You guys got tickets to the 7 o'clock showing. I got a theater for the 7 o'clock showing. Yeah. That's what Mikey did. Mikey rented a theater for The Last Jedi.
Wait, how did you not know that that was an option for, like, earlier movies?
Because I just went online and bought the tickets because it was, like, pre-assigned seats and it was easy to do that way. Yeah. Although I probably should have known because, like, you can only buy 10 tickets at a time. Uh-huh. So I just got a whole theater instead.
Wait, so you can bring more than 37 people now.
Yeah, now I can bring more than 37 people.
That's amazing.
So, I'm coming to visit.
So, this is going to be a theater of all my friends seeing Star Wars The Last Jedi. I will tell you this. In my saying, okay, like, because this was not like a done deal that night. Like, I was talking to the manager. I had to go through, like, corporate stuff and whatnot. And it still has, I haven't signed on the dotted line yet. So, I went home and I still bought tickets to the 7:30 IMAX showing. So I have tickets to the 7:30 IMAX showing that I might sell. But I have a ticket to a 7:30 IMAX showing with my wife that we have for us. And then I'm actually said, you know what? If I'm getting a whole theater, I should go shop around what the other theaters are can offer price-wise. So I'm in the talks with three different theaters to get a whole theater for The Last Jedi. So, yeah. So that's what I learned I can do. And, yeah.
And we'll now do in for every Star Wars
movie. Oh, for now, every Star Wars movie now. I'll be like, hey, I want to make sure before you guys announce ticket prices. Like, the manager's like, yeah, if you had done it before we even announced the tickets, I'm like, but they didn't even, like, you know, really tell us. Like, they did the day before that tickets are also going on sale. Like, they really didn't give us a lot of time. So, like, yeah, if you tell us beforehand, like, we can totally just, you know, get whatever theater you want, how many seats you need, and we'll take care of it for you. I'm like, okay. So, next movie, the Han Solo film, I will have a theater again. I'm not going to try to buy the tickets.
A solo theater?
A solo theater for Mikey. Yeah, for the Han Solo film. There you go. There was no pun intended there. Okay, so that was exactly, like, 3.5 minutes, so people can skip over my rant about not being upset that tickets went on sale before they were supposed to, because like I said, I like it's a tradition. Like, I like to sit at the computer, the rush, the anxiety of not being able to get like the perfect middle seat, which I've gotten each time for the last two movies. And this time I'm probably going to do it also because I have the theater to choose from.
none of the theaters around me do the pre-assigned seat.
Oh, see, like, I kind of miss it. I kind of miss it. See, I kind of miss that, though. Like, I'll be honest with you. Like, the downside to the pre-assigned seats is you know what seat you're going to get, right? You know what seat you're going to get. So, like, you did all the waiting, like, at your computer with nobody. Like, I miss not having pre-assigned seats. I miss not having pre-assigned seats because I remember, like, you know, Revenge of the Sith. I literally got there at, like, 8 a.m. that morning and waited all day for the first showing at midnight. And there was probably, like, 90 of us in line at 8 a.m. And we were all Star Wars nerds, which was awesome. Yeah. Like, we had so much fun. Yeah, we played the Star Wars. You know, it was just really, really fun. Like, I like line waiting. But, you know, I understand people can't do that.
Sorry, was this you lined up outside or inside the theater?
Oh, this was outside. They didn't let us in because the movie wasn't until midnight that night.
Well, at least it was May instead of December. I saw Force Awakens before we had assigned seats where I was, and it was great because everyone got there like hours ahead of time, and everyone was like, and it was also Force Awakens, so it was like the first big new Star Wars.
Yeah, no, that was a big one.
And, yeah, no, I totally know what you're saying. Like, I miss the the enthusiasm.
Yeah, so I miss the line stuff. So I that happened, but yeah, like I kind of miss the line stuff, but at this point, because as much as I love my friends who are coming with me, a lot of them are my people who I work with, and they don't quite, they don't all have like, you know, the time to sit and wait. Like, I request the day off, you know, of the movies, and the day after, and the day after again, like, so I can see it multiple times. Like, that's just built into my like yearly budget. See the Star Wars movie way too many times on the opening weekend, so I can say yes, I've seen it 5 times already. How many times have you seen it? But I feel like I'm like a 5-year-old when I do that. Anyway, let's move on to the next story. Let's move on to the next bit of news before we get to the trailer, because we obviously have a lot to talk about in that trailer. So some really cool news came out. Andy Serkis has said that his character, Lucasfilm, has finished a fully fleshed out backstory for him. So Rian Johnson has come up with a full story of who, you know, Snoke actually is, which is actually... You know, I'll tell you this, because a lot of people when The Force Awakens came out, a lot of people said Snoke had to be Plagueis. And to an extent it made sense. Snoke had to be Plagueis at that, because when you have conversations with like J.J. Abrams about who Snoke was, he was just kind of this ominous villain. But at the same time, like when you look at Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, the Emperor was also some kind of abstract kind of big bad guy that your main villain was also communicating to. Like, think about it. In the original Empire Strikes Back, the Emperor was a monkey. Like, that's what portrayed him. So, that's what I'm saying.
Andy Serkis plays Caesar. Okay, I see
what you're Who's also a monkey. See, thank you. I'm glad somebody got this. I'm like, I'm trying to link these things together, and no one else is getting it. Okay. But anyway, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, hint, hint, monkey, Planet of the Apes, Andy Serkis, Gollum. No, anyway. But yeah, so
Gollum was a hobbit, then turned into a monkey. Yeah.
Okay. And he also says raw.
The way he says raw.
There you go. See, Caitlin's got it too. There it is.
There we go.
Ron Wiggling. But yeah, so now we know who Snoke is. So, and honestly, anyone who argues, I guess he's probably going to be just Snoke himself. He's going to have some, you know, he's going to have some background himself. But I'm kind of excited to see what the Snoke background actually is, whether it actually is shown in The Last Jedi or will be explored more in a...
Oh, the article said it wasn't. So.
No. Yeah, it's not in this movie.
Well, but I'm sure they will allude to something. Like, the article says not, like, explored, but doesn't mean that...
full out...
Like, it's
be revealed.
Yeah, it's not going to be revealed, but right. I wonder if you're going to get more information about it, because we have... Because, specifically, Rian Johnson's the one who did it. So my guess is, even though it's not there, like, think about when we had Snoke in The Force Awakens. It definitely, at least to me, it felt like he was just some, you know, big bad guy that Kylo responded to. Like, there was no almost personality with Snoke. He just kind of stood there. Whereas this, we see him in the trailer, and, like, there's going to be something else, like, something more meaningful.
At the same time, when, like, I mean, we all grew up with Star Wars, so there was never that shock factor. Mm-hmm. But when A New Hope came out, we didn't have the backstory for Darth Vader or the Emperor either.
Yeah,
technically, we never did get a backstory for the Emperor in the movies.
Yeah, but we did. It was called the prequels.
To add on to that, I mean, like, Darth Vader wasn't even the main villain in A New Hope, so, like, Snoke not being the main villain in Force Awakens could just mean kind of the same.
Yeah.
Like, he'll take front and center in this next movie because we know Kylo Ren. We also know Kylo Ren's backstory in just one movie. So, yeah, there's a lot more room for Snoke to come in and
if take over. It runs parallel to Emperor Strikes Back, or The Empire Strikes Back, then the I'm your father moment will be Luke to Rey if Mikey gets his way. And yes, mm-hmm. I just rhymed.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's going to happen. But yeah, so the fact that Snoke has a full backstory, which means that I'm sure they're going to explore it at some point in time, whether it be in film, in either episode a little bit 8 and more 9, or going to be in comic or book novel form. It's going to be in some form that we're going to get more about Snoke, and I'm excited to see that. I don't know about you guys.
What do you think, Brack?
Yeah, it's nice to know that they have an idea. Just generic, like
an end game.
An end game for Snoke. Yeah.
Or even just, you know, a backstory that's going to influence actions or dialogue.
Yes, exactly. He's not just like
character. If the writers and the actor know what's behind it.
Well, and that's the thing, because, like, Andy Serkis, like, I mean, yes, we've seen him act through CGI, and he does amazing in that. But I've also seen him one or two roles where it's just him, there's no CGI. And he's a phenomenal actor, so the fact that he at least knows the background so he can use that in his acting just makes it that much better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No. I agree with you 100%. Like, that's exactly what it would be. So I'm excited to learn about Snoke's backstory, but you know what I'm even more excited about? No, not the trailer yet. We have one more bit of news. Two more pieces of news to talk about. See? But I got a lot of people ready for it. Though. You know what I mean?
This is still trailer news.
It's a different trailer, though. It's the Han Solo trailer is apparently finished, and the title is to be revealed soon. I'm kind of excited for this. Like, the fact that it's a really bad Photoshop of Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian just makes me even more excited about this news itself. Like, that's kind of actually why I was excited to talk about it, because it's Donald Glover as Lando. Hello, how you doing? Anyway, but so good news is insiders are saying that there is a trailer that has been cut for the Han Solo film, and that their title is going to be revealed soon. And then they also go into saying, which is what I had hoped for a couple episodes back, that wouldn't it be really cool if they released the trailer for the Han Solo film with The Last Jedi? They said the opportune moment would be because it would only be about 5 months if they keep it with the May release date. What do you guys think about this? What do you guys think about a Han Solo trailer?
It's going to happen eventually, right?
Eventually, well, it's going to happen.
It does have the point that Thor Ragnarok does come out at the beginning of next month. But I can see them holding off. Like, I don't know if we can hit, like, I can see them holding off to put it in front of The Last Jedi.
I can see...
Because
so here's the thing
Star Wars.
Well, here's the thing is, if they put it in front of Thor Ragnarok, here's the problem, is now you have two different films, Star Wars films, being displayed at the same time, and think about how many people were confused with Rogue One, right? Even though, like, it was like, no, this is the Death Star before the first film. No, not Episode 1, you know, the first one that was released, A New Hope, Episode 4. Like that, think about
this,
that.
This might be, like, a tiny bit different, considering it's, like, it's called Han Solo, or, like, you know, it's gonna have his name in it.
Yeah, except also, like, you know, then they're gonna say, like, didn't he die in the last movie? Like, I have arguments for all of this. So, here's my thing is, like, I can't imagine being in Thor. I feel like, if anything, we'll see either this trailer in front of Thor, or another Star, you know, Last Jedi trailer in front of Thor. Right.
Yeah, I think we talked about this on the show before. I think they'll put the Han Solo trailer in front of Last Jedi if they're smart.
Well, I don't, because then they're also advertising to their target audience. So like that's what I can see. Or like if it's not even, or if it's a super teaser and be like, hey, stay after the film to see.
Yeah, I still don't think that's a good idea.
Well, but Marvel does stuff at the end of the movies all the time. Like,
well, at the end of like the credits, it's not like a full, you know, like trailer.
And it's usually in relation to that movie. Like it's like a epilogue.
I don't know.
It's
like,
not a.
That's the problem. Is like I feel like putting the trailer in front of it, like you get people hyped about another Star Wars film. You know, like if you get people hyped about a Star Wars film, and then like. You can't like
show them
I don't know. Yeah, it's like, and then show them another Star Wars film. Like, I guess like I would still be super hyped anyway because it's the Last Jedi.
I'm just saying.
So,
as a Star Wars fan, I would be super hyped. I'd be like, oh, that movie's coming out! I can't wait for new Star Wars. Oh wait, we're about to watch a new Star Wars. You know, like it's just this kind of domino effect, and then you freak out.
The only thing is,
What?
I don't know. I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
The only thing is Porgs. Anyway, moving on to the last bit of news before we get into our spotlight topic is Lucasfilm and StarWars.com wants to say thank you to all of you and to us for help for supporting Star Wars The Last Jedi trailer and seeing it over 120.1 million times worldwide. In 24 hours. Like, think about that. 120.1 million times. That's kind of... That's amazing to me. Like, I don't know.
This is going
to
sound...
comparison to, like, other things?
Like, I don't know about other movie trailers.
I think the record's held by it, right?
Yeah, the record's held by it, okay. So it didn't break that...
To give you
an idea, the first trailer for this, the first teaser for this at Star Wars Celebration, it only had 98 million views in 24 hours. So this had 120. So this had 120.1 million. So it was, you know, it had 29.1 million more views. So that's kind of like ridiculously awesome. And when you think about that, the trailer is also... How long was the whole thing? I don't have it written down.
Like I'm going to jump to it.
About 2 minutes long. Yeah, it's 2 minutes. 2 minutes and 18 seconds. Like, multiply that by 120 million times.
Well, I think, like, I mean, amongst us, we probably helped quite a bit.
Yeah, I probably, you know. Yeah, like I'm watching it again right now. I'm getting distracted. So I think that's pretty cool. Now, I also think that is also probably one of the biggest watched Monday Night Football games also. I know our co-host who's not here, Danya, was watching it at a sports bar in DC. So she was watching the sports ball and then apparently the entire bar went up and cheers for the trailer cuz I would probably
As they should.
Star Wars or football? Like, what's more important?
Of course, Star Wars.
Of course. Any thoughts about 120 million views in 24 hours?
I mean, half of them were us.
Okay.
We may have helped.
A little bit.
I actually rented a theater to see the...
No. You didn't. That was me. I'm the one who rented the theater. So now it's time for our spotlight topic.
The trailer!
And our spotlight topic is porgs.
Oh my gosh, the trailer.
No, trailer, not porgs, trailer.
Yeah, the porg solo movie trailer.
Porglicious?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. There we go, exactly. Actually, all right, before we get started with the trailer talk, this is what's going to happen. So, I love memes, and everyone knows this. I probably talk about them way too often. Have you guys seen the Han Solo, Leia, I love you, I know meme that is Chewie and the porg? Chewie says, I love you, and the pork says, I know.
Oh my god. Beautiful.
Have you not seen this? Oh my gosh, we're totally derailing. Okay, no, we're going to talk about the trailer. This will come up at the end of this. Okay. So, starting the trailer. The trailer starts with an image of an unmasked Kylo Ren looking out of a viewport. Looking at... What do you guys think that is? Like, what is he looking out of? It looks like some type of, like, First Order ship...
Like a hangar?
Hangar? Yeah, I would say maybe a hangar, or maybe it's an assembly plant. Like there's sparks going. Like
a factory.
Yeah, some type of factory. Maybe it's a...
Oh, I'm zoomed in right now, and there's an AT-AT in the background.
Is it an AT-AT, or is it an AT-M6, one of the big gorilla ones?
One of the new ones? Yeah, probably one of the new ones. There's two of them, actually. So this is a very large hangar.
Yeah.
If it's a hangar.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, well, but remember we also have the new ship, the Dreadnought, that's just ridiculously big too.
It's like giant conveyor belt things holding the AT-M6 whatever.
Well, actually, you know what? Hold on, I'm going through it, and it actually looks like it's, you know what? It reminds me of. No, those look like just normal AT-ATs. You're right. So yeah, remember
but
in
giant ships like holding them, so they're gonna like drop them from the sky.
Yeah, think about the Trade Federation ships that we had in Phantom Menace. Yeah. So this is kind of like that.
What if AT-ATs fall from the sky? Oh my gosh!
And they drop in and go. Oh my gosh! No, and start walking on crate.
Well,
oh my gosh!
That answers the question of how they got onto Hoth.
That's a good point. That would answer that question too.
Oh my gosh! I'm so glad I zoomed in.
So hold on. So we open up with an image of Kylo Ren there, but we also get the first line of Snoke saying, "When I found you." Now the next line and the next scene is also, "I saw Ra," is what Snoke is saying, and that's when we're seeing the big new AT-M six walkers on the planet Crate, which was we learned from the Princess Leia novel that this planet was an original Rebel Alliance base. And you also not only see those, AT-M6s, which I can't even count how many there are. There's just a ridiculous amount in there. There's also AT-ATs, too.
I will tell you.
Okay, Ben can count for us. But there's also AT-ATs, and I swear, the AT-ATs look like little, like, puppies, I guess, next to them. I don't know, like, what do you guys think? Like, how do they look?
They're just little babies.
Little baby walkers?
They got wet. They shrunk.
Little baby walkers. But above them, you also see Kylo Ren's command shuttle. You guys remember that from The Force Awakens?
Yeah, it's also cool how it's, like, gliding slowly above them, too. Like,
at the pace they're going.
We're used to seeing ships, like, you know, go quickly, I guess. Like, you know. But this is just kind of like the creepy, ominous hover.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are coming to blow you up. You know, it's...
Be afraid.
Oh my gosh, that looks so cool. So Snoke is saying, "When I found you, I saw raw, untamed power." And during the untamed power, we see Kylo Ren walking with what looks to be like some flame troopers. You guys all see the packs on the back of them? You agree that their flame trooper is going to go burn down the resistance base, is what my guess would be.
That'd be awesome. I mean, it'd be bad, but like it'd be awesome to watch. You know, like,
it would be pretty awesome to watch. Which we may
did
be.
Did anyone
watching
realize how this shot is composed the same way as Anakin entering the temple with clones?
Uh huh. Exactly the same as he turned back. So I think there's some parallels between Anakin and Kylo Ren. Yeah. Since he wants to be like his grandfather. Just like his grandfather. Okay. So, when I found you, I saw raw, untamed power. And beyond that, you see Kylo Ren in his mask picking up his lightsaber. And then over black, again, here's the thing is, I don't know if this is, like, this is definitely a more modern style trailer where it kind of goes in and out, like kind of almost like a blink and it goes to black. But over black says, something truly special. And then you get the shocker moment, like the loud sound and everything. And the shocker moment is Rey igniting the blue lightsaber that was Anakin Skywalker's. Which, I will tell you, just seeing Rey light it and do that, like, I got chills.
It was surprisingly effective, especially because we've already seen her, like, ignite the lightsaber and fight with it. But, like, this is, like, I don't know. Like, this is in the presence of Luke Skywalker himself, so it's more of a, you know, oh my and gosh.
in it, she just, the way she reacts when it lights up, she's almost slightly startled. Like, she knows it's going to happen, but she still kind of jolts away from it. So I feel like it's one of the first time, like, that scene in particular is one of the first times she actually lights the lightsaber.
Well, I don't know if it's one of the first times she lights it, because if you look at the outfit, I'm frozen on the frame. It's actually 23 seconds into the trailer is where we're at so far. We just started our talk, and we're 23 seconds in. We're 23 seconds in. And it's the very beginning here, and Rey is just standing there, and she's wearing a more traditional Jedi-looking outfit. You know, she's not wearing the same outfit she wore on Jakku, and she's not wearing the jacket she wore at the end of The Force Awakens. So it definitely looks more like a traditional kind of Jedi, like Luke type thing.
Maybe she just took off the jacket? Because her hair is still the same.
Yeah, but her arms are also wrapped. And I don't know. Like,
Reynolds wrap? Sorry, keep going.
Bad jokes. Anyway,
they weren't going to be good. Did you expect good jokes?
It's no, I didn't. Not good. At all. Okay, anyway,
there we go. Your expectations were at the right place.
So the really cool thing about this is, like, this first part, like, you're like, for me, this trailer was really awesome because this, it begins, it sucks you in with, like, Snoke saying those things like, when I found you, I saw raw untamed power, and beyond that, something truly special. And then it jumps to Rey. Then right after this, and again, it's you see her on the island that we know. It goes to the Lucasfilm logo after she kind of looks at the lightsaber. And that's when the music starts. And I don't want to go ahead. I want to talk about the music because I know Ben like wants to talk about it because the music is awesome in this trailer. Yeah. Like, I cannot wait for this soundtrack.
I actually, as great as the music was, I had some peeves with the fact that they, like, until the very end of the trailer when you see the title card, they didn't use their, like, big epic Force theme. It was all, like, they used the Jedi steps, they used Rey's theme, they used Kylo Ren's, like, all the stuff we know from the most previous movie. But there wasn't, like, I think one of the reasons the Force Awakens trailers, like, worked really well in, like, giving us a Star Wars trailer that made us excited was this, like, we had the Force theme to, like, help us get there as far as, like, the emotional high of the trailer, you know?
Okay, so I do have a question, Ben, and you would know this better than me, and I thought I listened to it a couple times. The music that starts right at the Lucasfilm, like, logo?
The island? Yeah.
Yeah, is that from The Force Awakens, or is that somewhere else?
No.
That's new, right?
It's just new trailer music.
Is it just trailer music, you think, and it's not part of it? Because it definitely seems like
they may have just gotten it from, I don't know. The music in the trailer, even if it was, like, materially we knew, it was probably recorded, like, recently. Like, it was new.
It was new, but I feel like the theme that we hear is something that we're going to see in the film. Because, I felt like it worked really, really well, and it sounded familiar. Like, it had a motif of something else.
I have to watch this again to find Star Wars-y.
It felt not only Star Wars-y.
Just music,
but it felt like familiar. Like, it almost felt like a darker version of Rey's theme, kind of. Like, it kind of felt like a darker version of Rey's theme, kind of like how there's variations of Vader's theme and stuff.
Yeah, the movement, like, or just like the pacing of it, like, it's faster than I think we're used to in a big epic trailer. Like, it's got more of a, I don't know. There's a scene in Force Awakens where Kylo Ren's just kind of, like, marching through Starkiller Base, and, like, he's threatening, and there's all this, like, you know, very, like, Hans Zimmer-y kind of strings. But, of course, they're John Williams-y kind of strings, you know? And,
yeah.
It's got this, like, kind of, like, it's anticipating, you know?
Really yeah, cool. Well, the what the episode. When the brass comes in, where it's like bum 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 bum.
Yeah,
bum,
that's just bum, the end bum, of Darth like, Vader's theme.
It is. So yeah. The motif is the end of Darth Vader's theme. That's yeah. why I'm like my I knew the music and it's very it's Darth Vader music, but yeah, it's different. It's different. Like I said, the motif the end of Vader's right. theme is in there, maybe and I think we may have lost Kate. Oh, Caitlin's back,
and he's really kind of angsty.
Well, it is kind of angsty because you know it's one. It's you know. It's Vader's lightsaber, and we have right. Kylo going the way he is. But yeah, so it's definitely there. So Rey ignites the lightsaber. It goes to the Lucasfilm logo, and the music. I cannot say enough great things. I think the music is awesome. It's Caitlin, I know we lost you too. For a second. What do you think about the music?
I'm not gonna lie. I might have been slightly blinded by the visuals.
That's fair. That's a fair assessment.
Okay. Well, that's a fair assessment because as soon as we see the island and the music going, which with after the Lucasfilm logo, it cut after the island, it cuts to a wide shot and then quickly to a closer up, I would say maybe a medium close up of Rey talking to Luke, and she says something inside me has always been there, and so like you see them, and then you see the lightsaber being transferred, handed to Luke's, you know, lightsaber, you know, his mechanical hand, you know, saying inside me has always been there and I was awake and I need help. Like one, the lines here, like, I don't know if they went back and had them re-record these words. Like, I don't know if they pulled these from the movie. It seems like too well.
It seems too good. That's a broader discussion. I think aside from just the trailer, I think there's a lot of dialogue in the trailer that is basically there to get us excited. Like, I don't know if, like, they might put dialogue from different scenes together to form exciting sentences that might not appear in the actual movie.
or like Jyn Erso fighting a TIE fighter on the catwalk that doesn't exist in the movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was, yeah. I guess I'm thinking in terms of dialogue, you know.
Well, I agree with dialogue, like, but...
Yeah.
Like, the controversial dialogue of Luke in the teaser... When he's like, I've known this for a long time, it's time for the Jedi to end, or whatever the exact line is. But the first little bit, and then the part where he goes, the Jedi need to end, the sound quality is different. Like, there's something about it that sounds different from the beginning of that sentence.
Yeah, and, so, well, and also, like, if you take the trailers, like, if you take the trailers as, like, fact... one, we know Luke was not in The Force Awakens at all, but in one of The Force Awakens early trailers, it was Luke saying, the Force is strong in my family. My father has it. I have it. My sister has it, which we know is Leia, and you have that power too. And so we assume it's like Rey. That's actually where the biggest speculation of Rey being Luke's daughter comes from, is because that trailer, and they have yet to say that, no, that was just for marketing purposes. Now, at the same time, they can say, well, they could just be talking to Ben. And I guess, but we don't see Ben at all doing that. Again, we don't see Luke at all doing any of this. So maybe we'll know more about it with a flashback scene in The Last Jedi. But it's one of those things where we... What was that,
Ben? Sorry, Star Wars movies don't have flashbacks in them. So they'll be
fine. Well, they do in, like, Force Visions. You see the past, the present, the future.
Right, but I think as far as a flashback, like, for the audience. Whereas, like, the Force Vision, it's a character seeing something, so, like...
Yeah, Rey may see... time's still moving, so Rey may see something while she meditates, and she breaks the rock. You know, who knows what it is? Well, she sees the Jedi Temple burning or something like that. You know, who knows? But we may get something like that, because we did see a little bit of that in her Force Vision previously. So, okay, so let's move on. So Rey is saying these things. She hands the lightsaber to Luke, who takes it. And, you know, like I said, something inside me has always been there, and I was awake, and I need help. Now, so before she gets to this, like when she says, when I was awake, you see her walking up these steps of a misty kind of mountain scene, which is not the same mountain she climbed up. Yeah?
I'm thinking maybe this is like her version of
the swamp in Dagobah.
Yeah,
the cave.
Like going to face her fear.
Take only what you know. You take only what you know. Take with you only what you need.
And in the background, like, you see something kind of sticking out of the ground. Somebody suggested that maybe it's the charred remains of a tree trunk.
I can see that. And it being the forest tree has been burned down or something like that. Mm-hmm. Now, we've also heard rumors. Remember that there was a battle on the island. So this can be after that battle, too. And it's like the remains of that tree trunk where they were. So after this, like I said, she says, and I was awake. It goes back to the inside of that tree or cave with the light shining on the books. Which we know those are, we assume those are the wills, the original Jedi journals or something that Luke has been studying.
Or the poor cookbook.
Yep. Or the poor cookbook. Because they eat them in the movie doesn't mean that the porks are not tasty.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I will give you that. That's fair.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I mean, they're not tasty. So there's that. And I do like that you can, it's obvious that she goes to look at them too. Because it then cuts to her kind of looking down. The same lighting is in there from the tree and everything. But I do like that it's Rey almost being vulnerable, saying, and I need help. After this, do you guys have anything about the book and Rey coming saying, I need help and seeing the books? I almost wonder if when she says, I need help and you see the books, is if she is not necessarily going to be a Jedi, good or bad, but she's going to embrace what Luke has, discovered on the island with the books. And maybe the trailer's alluding to that, or we're just breaking it down way, way too much.
Yeah, I was about to say, I would rather, I think, spend time breaking down things later in the trailer.
Okay, That's fine. So, yeah. As we move on, we see the same shot we saw in the previous Last Jedi footage
awesome
Rey on the cliff, swinging the lightsaber around, but we get a really cool close-up of her doing it. And the music comes in, and she stops the lightsaber right before it hits a rock. And then from there, it cuts to the ground breaking and her raising the pebbles that we saw again in the previous trailer. And then it cuts to Luke saying, what's up?
Sorry, when she breaks the ground, when there's a crack in the rock below them, mm-hmm. Luke looks terrified. And I just think that's really... That's probably important because of
we're gonna get to that. Yeah, Luke's eyes are kind of like Mark Hamill looks like his mouth is kind of open, eyes are wide. Yeah, he definitely looks terrified.
Yeah.
And his response to this is, "I've seen this raw strength only once before." And then it cuts to a scene, and this is where I wanted to stop here. So he's seen his raw strength only once before. And then it cuts to a scene of a burning building, rubble, and you see Luke's mechanical hand come out of it, or T-1000, if you will, if you're a Terminator fan. And it didn't scare me enough then. And it cuts back to, after that burning building scene, it cuts back to what I would assume is a vision of the Jedi Temple that he had set up, him kneeling down next to R2 and everything on fire. Because it looks very reminiscent of what we saw when Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren destroyed everything that we saw in the flashback from The Force Awakens. Do you guys agree?
Maybe he makes Rey finish the vision.
I wouldn't be surprised. Remember, Yoda had Luke train with visions and stuff like that. He saw the present, and stuff that.
Maybe he's just face your fear, because she ran away from that initially, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
It might be cool to just be go back and see what happens. And she does so by touching the lightsaber.
In regards to Luke having that face, I just want to remind it, it's cut that way to look like that's what he's reacting to, but we don't actually know that that is what he's reacting to.
Oh, no, I meant in the scene where when you see that the rocks beneath them crack in half and it zooms up really quickly to Luke's face right then and there and he looks scared.
Yeah, but that can also still be edited too. We can also argue about we're not to the point at the end, but we also see Kylo Ren and then we see a hand in focus and an outfit out of focus reaching out for Rey to reach. And the background doesn't match up exactly.
Well, this one,
so there's argument whether it's...
This one doesn't cut. The camera moves from the ground up to Luke's face.
It looks like a whip pan, but we don't know if 100% if it is a whip pan. Because there's transitions that can do that. Because,
like, okay. Rey is outside, right? Based off the lighting, she's outside. But when... I guess maybe I'm picturing a different part where, like, Luke kind of looks a little shocked. But it looks like he's inside the cave. Like, the lighting's not the same.
Where he's saying, you know, I've seen the raw strength.
Where he's seen the...
When it cuts to where he says it does now. They're not outside.
Yeah, they're not outside. When you're talking about not the first part where his reaction to the ground breaking that Ben first stopped us at, but more the after he says I've seen this raw strength once before, it didn't scare me enough then. When he says it does now, or I've seen this raw strength once before, and it does now. Like that's inside. Like he's talking somewhere else.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I have a comment about lighting about another scene later. But we'll continue to where we are now.
I think I know what you're going to... Okay, we'll see.
It definitely does look like it's somewhere else now. But I would say, like, it definitely... I think this he could be talking about... I think he could be talking about, you know, Rey. But here's my other theory. What if he's not talking about Rey? Who else could he be talking about? Could he be talking about Snoke? And when I say think this way. So take it back. So everyone assumes he's specifically talking about, he's seen this once before in Ben Solo, who's the one who changed, and he's talking about Rey.
Because of the flashback.
But what if this specific line, he's seen this raw strength only once before, and he wasn't afraid then? That it could be Darth Vader. Darth Vader had this raw strength, and like he even told Yoda, "I'm not afraid," and Yoda told him, "You will be," but he wasn't afraid. He went and confronted Vader when he shouldn't have. Hold on, let me finish.
Caitlin, one, says, two, three, go.
But it does now. It does now. It means like he knows what he's up against. And now again, you've already said this is in a different scene. It's a different scene. And think of it, as a young kid, as a young child, are you scared to do something? No, you don't know. You're willing to run in. You feel like you're invincible. As you get older and you understand the ramifications of different things, you're more hesitant to do something like you would have done in your dumb teenage years because, heck, breaking your arm now, it's not as fun as when you're like in middle school and you say, oh, I get to stay home and I get to eat ice cream and do whatever else that happens when you break your arm at a... You know, when you're like 10 years old, right? So, you know, again, Luke was young. He was not trained. He was not afraid. And he rushed into his confrontation with Vader. And he might be worried now to rush into that confrontation with Snoke. Again, it's in a different scene.
Can I just point out, though, because he says the raw strength. Darth Vader wasn't raw strength. That was trained.
We also saw...
It was skilled, though. It wasn't like he didn't... Darth Vader didn't know what he was doing. He did know, so he was trained. It's not what I would call raw strength. Raw strength is what, like, Luke and Rey have when they first started. Like, all of a sudden, they had a lightsaber and they knew how to wield it. That's raw strength. But Darth Vader was how old when Luke finally met with him?
Or what about maybe it's the Emperor? Like he confronted both Vader and the Emperor, and the Emperor,
like it could be,
and the Emperor, and the Emperor could have defeated Luke easily. Like think about it. If it wasn't for his father changing at the last moment for redemption,
but it's not raw strength.
I don't know. Like the raw strength of like the Force lightning.
Well, think about it.
Like no one else has shot Force lightning.
But I'm not saying that.
Saying is like raw meaning it has
new, untrained,
untapped potential.
At that point, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know, I get it, but I just want you guys to think about it a different way too, because we don't know, right? We don't know. It's a trailer, and again, you guys all know I tend to play devil's advocate on some of these things, and you both jumped at the chance to tell me I'm wrong.
One thing we can all agree on is the fact that R2-D2 was there watching this thing happen, and like the amount of crap that R2-D2 had to like live through in this entire saga so far and just like not talk to anyone about is just crazy.
What are you talking about? That guy has such a foul mouth, they beep out every word he says.
Yeah, do you blame him?
I mean, you know,
Jeez, like...
Yeah, after everything he's seen.
It's like, it's bad. Everything he's seen, like...
Everything, and every bleep that he has to deal with?
Can you also think about this, too, that R2-D2 started out as simply a lowly repair astromech droid on a starship of Naboo. Right, like, I'm hanging out on a repair ship for the Queen of Naboo, and then I turn into this droid that goes through, you know, hanging out with the Jedi, and then, you know, I get transferred to, you know, General Antilles, and then I come in the possession of Luke, and, like, he's all over the place. You know, like I will say, like, he started out as just, like, life as a, you know, repair droid.
Yeah, but if he was smart, he would have actually, like, said something. Like, when Luke was, like, when he and 3PO were there with Luke, he could have been like, yo, I knew your dad, and then just, like, spilled the beans. But, like, instead he just watched it all unfold, including when he went with Luke to Dagobah. He just watched it happen, you know?
Weren't there memories wiped, though?
No, just C-3PO. Yeah.
Just C-3PO. Oh.
So he remembers everything.
But it's so
here, he doesn't know English, so he can't.
Well,
really,
but here's the other thing. Like, think about it also. Like, the only time R2 actually communicates directly with Luke is when there's a readout, like, on his X-Wing and stuff like that. Everything else, they just interpret and assume via the tone of the beeps.
Because Rey can understand BB-8, so will Rey have conversations with R2?
So here's the thing is, I don't know. I think Rey does the same thing. Like, she doesn't necessarily, like... Well, I guess she has to understand it, because he does, like, give her specific information, like the Alenium system through beeps. So maybe he does have a language, per se, through beeps.
Yeah.
That they
maybe can understand. Maybe R2-D2 is a really good secret keeper.
Yeah,
I think
maybe.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I always like to imagine that scene where Obi-Wan takes them back to his house, Luke, about Anakin, R2-D2's beeping at him. He's just going, dude, why are you lying like that?
Yeah. I can see that too. Like,
can't understand him, and C-3PO shut down.
So. And then there's BB-8, who will not put up with Finn's lying.
That's true. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I do agree. Like, R2's been through a lot. Anyway, moving on from Luke saying it does now. He's scared now. He's got those looks. I will say Mark Hamill does an amazing job of just having, like, the wide-eyed kind of, like, scared, crazed look. Does everyone kind of get, like, the crazy hermit look from him?
Yeah, totally.
He gets it from Obi-Wan. Except Obi-Wan never looked crazed. He was good at being the hobo.
I will say, after he says hermit. It does now, we see a picture of Rey, like, kind of hanging on a rock, like, climbing up. I don't know if, like, obviously, I don't think they're, like, related scenes at all, because Luke looks like he's inside of a cavern or a cave or something, and Rey is outside.
Because they were both, they may be two different scenes, but I think that might be, like, let's say he was scared by her, like, cracking the earth in half.
And she fell apart.
Up against a rock, and then he just walks away, like, whoop, that's too much for me, and then she's like, what the heck, man? You know?
And so she's falling down, or she's climbing up the rock she broke?
No, she's standing on, like, normal rock. It's, we can't just see the ground, because if you rewind to the part where she cracks the earth, and then it zooms up to Luke's scared face, they're, like, standing up against a rock like that.
Okay. But she looks like she's climbing up. Like, it doesn't look like she's, like,
she could be
just
tired
standing there
and just, like, taking a break, leaning against a rock.
Just, because, like, yeah, so I'm looking here. She's lightsaber attack. She breaks the ground. Luke is up. She's meditating.
She's meditating also wearing on the rock. Clothes, so they also.
Yeah, she is wearing, you know, but how many changes of clothes do you think she actually brought, you know?
Well, I mean, we've already established that she's wearing, like, rags in that one scene, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever. That's a small detail. Moving on.
Okay. Yeah, it is a small detail. It's somewhere else, so I'm okay with that. Anyway, moving on from that, we then get Kylo Ren.
My boy.
Your boy, Kylo?
Yeah, Ben. Ben Solo. Not dead yet.
Let's see.
Okay. So Kylo Ren, sorry. He's in his ship. And he says, let the past die. No, so first of all, let's talk about this real quick. He is in a new starfighter, right? Like, you guys are all seeing, like, his awesome new starfighter.
Right.
And It's called the silencer, right? Is what it's called, if I remember correctly.
Well, did we skip the part where he's like in an elevator and smashes his mask?
Yes, we did. Sorry. Because that's okay, part. That's not. Well, there's no text. There's no dialogue there. Sorry. I'm trying to go through like the notes and everything. And so there's no dialogue there. So, well, is that in? When does he say it? I need to turn the volume up on the trailer as I'm going through it with you. Because I got distracted while talking about you saying she was not climbing out of the water. She is climbing out of water or something there. All right. So after the shot of Rey like leaning against the rock that Ben said it's in the same thing. We have Kylo Ren through like some elevator or something like that, it opening up with his mask on. And then that's when he destroys it. When his first line is, "Let the past die." And I think this is good because I feel like this is when he gives up his mask. Because I know I've heard that he's in without his mask a lot throughout the film.
Yeah. Which is fine. So, I mean, we know what he looks like now. It's not like it's some big reveal, so.
Yeah, so he lets the past die and he's smashing his mask. And I almost wonder if, remember we saw, like, when we talked about in the first trailer, we had, like, Rey say, like, what do you see, the light in the dark? We saw Vader's mask kind of smoldering, or was it?
And I said it was Kylo Ren's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was just a destroyed Kylo Ren's mask.
Yeah, it might be Kylo Ren's, but I'm almost wondering if he's letting the past die, would he be letting not only his mask, but also Vader's mask die also?
Yeah, maybe this is after he finds out that his grandpa actually ended up being a good guy. Like, well, what the heck? And then he just smashes it. Like, fine.
No. Anyway, moving on. We get in this awesome space battle, and you see the new TIE silencer that Kylo Ren is piloting, which just looks awesome. Like, it's like a combination of like a TIE Advance meets Vader's chip meets First Order.
I love just the red. The red windshields on stuff. Like, the new. Like, the new AT-ATs, whatever they're called, and, like, his shuttle, and this. Mm-hmm. It's, like, this nice trademark, like, black and red. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's, well, black and red is First Order, you know, that's their colors.
Yeah.
So, obviously, his lines are, let the past die, and then he says, kill it. Which is, obviously...
what he did to his father.
Yeah, it was what he did to his father, and then it cuts to... if you have to, and it's a pan up of Leia, and I'll be honest with you, like, I don't know if the shot of Leia is actually, like, I feel like this is creative editing. And the reason why is, like, look at everyone behind Leia when he says if you have to. They're kind of just moseying along. Like, the guy, like, to the left of her is just, like, walking, like, I'm taking a stroll. Right. Like, it really doesn't look like, and obviously the screen shakes. Like, they're being hit, but that can definitely be done in post. Like, that can be, like, meant to make it. And it's a really, ominous shot of Leia looking worried, which she might very well be worried, but, like, everyone behind her is not really moving frantic or moving fast or calling out, like, shields. Like, think about, like, the Battle of Endor with the last time we saw a command ship in a Star Wars, you know, film. Like, we saw it in Rogue One. We saw Admiral Raddus and saw all the people moving around there, what was going on when they were being attacked. We saw in the Battle of Endor, you know, with Admiral Akbar and all the control ship, like, people were moving more. And there was a lot more going on. Here, she's just looking out, not responding. And if she's the general still, which we know she is, you think there'd be more going on in the ship, especially it looks like there was going to be, you know, taken out by a single starship. Do you agree? Yeah. So I will say it's creative editing, I think, there, but it says if you have to. You know, and then the shot of him, like, looking like he's going to fire, which is on her ship, is really, really intense from Adam Driver. But the last line is from it, let the past die, kill it if you have to. That's the only way to become what you were meant to be. And some insight from that is if you read the Force Awakens novel, there is some insight into after he kills Han Solo, he mildly regrets it because he doesn't feel any different after killing him. He doesn't feel like the pull to the light is still there for him. So he, you know, I can definitely see this of like him being conflicted still, even after going to such extremes as killing his own father. Yes, no? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm like analyzing the scene right now. Leia only blinks basically one eye. It's really kind of bothering me.
See, only maybe, we noticed that Leia blinks one eye.
Maybe she's winking. She's like, oh,
I
yeah.
I did not notice that, but now I see it every time.
Yeah.
Maybe he thinks he has to kill both his parents.
And that's what I'm getting to. Like, I can see that. Now, I will say, after that point where he's about to pull the trigger and it's super emotional, like, I remember when I first saw it, like, I don't know about you guys, but I was like, oh my gosh, like, it's definitely, like, family drama here. Like, don't, you know, they're mad at each other.
Well, didn't Carrie Fisher even say that it's a family movie?
It is. And that's what the Star Wars films have all been, the saga films have all been about.
This one might be a little more overt because they're not trying to, well, maybe
there's no big reveal. The reveal was done right at the beginning of the last film.
Right. And so that's, you know, this one's like a what's going to happen now kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do like that after that, it goes, this Christmas, see the family-friendly movie, Star Wars. It says this Christmas, and then it cuts into a really awesome scene. I'm assuming in the cave of Crait again. Just because it's Crait, sorry. I got it right the first time. Now I can't think it. The reason why is I think it's a cave in there because of the red. It's kind of like stalactites and stalagmites. Yeah.
There's a lot of red in this movie.
Yeah. So I'm assuming it's the same planet there. And you see the Millennium Falcon. Followed by First Order.
The Millennium Falcon flying through small spaces being chased by
like the Millennium Falcon. Yeah.
We've gotten that in basically every movie the Millennium Falcon's in, and I'm not sick of it, so.
We didn't get in A New Hope. We got Return of the Jedi.
So that means that I could be wrong.
But we got it in Empire Strikes Back. We got an Empire Strikes Back and between what do you call it? And Jedi. We got it in Force Awakens, and we're going to get it here. New Hope. They need to do a special edition and put the Millennium Falcon flying through like the destroyed asteroids of Alderaan or something like that.
Maybe that was the test drive to see if it would work because the Millennium Falcon does. Approach the trench at the end, you know. They're like, "Ooh," and then they're like, "Let's move on."
Let's move on to my favorite scene, the "I love you" scene between Chewie and the Porg. In this scene, it's actually it's a really fun scene. Like, it does like once it says "This Christmas," it does get a little bit more lighthearted, campy Star Wars fun because you see the Millennium Falcon. Because,
like, the music gets way more epic. It kind of splits.
It does. It splits between the two. Like, it gets a little bit more like you expect. Like, I will say the beginning part of the trailer is super, like, heavy. Starting with Snoke and then Luke and Rey talking, like, it's all, like, very ominous. Like, it's, you know, it's going to be, it sets the tone of it being like the Empire Strikes Back of this saga, right? And then it goes to this Christmas, like, and it becomes a little bit more lighthearted where you see the Millennium Falcon that we like. We see Chewie and the Porg.
Point out the Porg? They have sharp teeth. For some reason, I pictured them as like herbivores, but they are not.
No, I'm ready for this Porg to like eat the face of something. You know,
like just bite something, somebody's nose.
Just like attack someone, like Monty Python bunny style, like just go at it. You know,
I have a feeling they're more like little penguins in the sense that their arms or wings aren't actually meant for flying; they're for swimming.
Like little cat thing.
Yeah. And so that's what the teeth are for. It's for eating the fish.
Yeah. I'm always suspicious of cute critters in movies that turn out to be vicious.
Just don't feed them after midnight.
I would
forget them wet. That
this end up being vicious. I would like that.
That's probably why Chewie likes it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, heck, the Ewoks were going to eat Luke and Han, you know?
Well, but they had a god there in C-3PO.
Right, so maybe the Porg will look up to C-3PO. No, actually, Chewie's
Chewie's the new, like, the big version.
Chewie will be
now.
Like, whoa, man, like, I don't eat my friends. You should, you know?
Yeah.
That's the other thing. We don't see C-3PO in this trailer.
At all. Well, no, you just didn't recognize him with the red arm.
Oh, sorry. I was distracted. Ding!
No, you're right. We don't see him at all. We do see BB-8, and we saw R2. But, it, you know,
One thing I noticed, actually, just as far as characters go, this trailer doesn't have Benicio del Toro, Laura Dern, Killer Marie Tran, or the black BB-8 in it, which means there's so much to look forward to.
Well, that's the point. Like this trailer, like people are like, oh, is this the last trailer? I'm like, no, it's the second trailer. There's gonna be a lot more. Like this does not reveal that much. And I'll be honest with you, like, think back to the Force Awakens trailers. Like, think back to all the Force Awakens trailers.
I mean, there were
the entire No, we also had the TV spots and stuff like that that had some new stuff in them.
Oh, right. I never watched those because at that point I was like, I don't want to see anything else. You know?
But here's the thing: is if you saw all the trailers, everything you saw took place within the first 20 minutes of The Force Awakens.
Right.
You never got any of the later stuff, which was really, really cool that they kept it, like, super secretive that way.
What if everything in this trailer is, like, in the first half of the movie, and it's just an action-packed?
I feel like that's what it is. I feel like this is going to be the first half of the movie.
Because it would be the first time we have a movie that opens with a battle with four-legged Imperial...
I know, we saw that in Empire Strikes Back. Like, and if he's here's the thing, is J.J. Abrams was criticized quite a bit for following the original trilogy too much, but I feel like, overall, it was a fun and good film. Like, I personally like The Force Awakens a lot. I watch it fairly often.
I'm totally with you on that, by the way.
So I think it worked following that. Now, I feel like the direction, because Force Awakens was so well done, even though, like, the few criticisms, like, oh, it's just like the other one. I'm like, well, like, I get it. Like, that's kind of how Star Wars is. Like, they repeat a lot of the same stuff over and over again. And I feel like they're going to, like, this is going to be the Empire Strikes Back, and they take a cue right out of it and start with a big battle. Because, you know, I don't know if it's going to start with a big battle or if it's going to start with Luke and Rey on the island, because we know it picks up right after that. But we also know that the First Order is scrambling and leaving because the Resistance knows where the First Order is. Or no, First Order knows where the Resistance is, so they have to leave the Alenium system on Dakar and go somewhere else, which is where they're going. So, like, it could be that they're setting it up, and as they get set up, that's when they get spotted right away. So there's definitely a lot that can be happening. But moving on from Chewie and the Porgs, it goes into more space battle, which is actually something I'm a huge fan of.
I love space battles, so...
Dude, it's like, yeah, like, that's a new hope to me, X-Wing, you know, Red 5 going in. Like, I love X-Wings. I love space battles. It's, like, one of my favorite things. I love Rogue One for this. So you see some really cool space battle stuff, and you see Poe. And Poe is not in his ship, but then but he says something. We have a spark.
But we are the spark.
Or we are the spark. Yeah, we are the spark. Sorry, I typed that wrong because I'm looking at my notes here. So we are the spark. And what's really interesting here, and anyone else spots this, it's exactly at, I'm going to get to the time right now for everyone to see it. It's at 1:37, so a minute 37 into the trailer. I'm assuming this is Poe's X-Wing.
Right.
And I'm assuming it's Poe's X-Wing because it looks like the BB-8's on it. But
and
so he
looks
says,
kind
we
kind of orange on the wings too, and his is black and orange. So,
well, that black and orange one we know gets destroyed at some point. But
maybe this is
the engine, that lights up. So obviously, there's there are four engines that are the X-wing, but the engine that lights up looks like it's something clamped onto his ship. Right. You see that? It's like
a custom thing,
like a custom like afterburner or something like that. Because there's no engine there on an X-wing.
That's a very Poe thing to do. I would definitely,
Like put Nas in it, like a turbo street boost. Racing, a little turbo boost for Poe.
It's like Need for Speed X-Wing.
Yeah, because it definitely looks like BB-8 is right there. Like, I have it screenshot here frozen. I'm like, this is legitimately like a cool shot. You know, lens flare and all. You know, J.J. Abrams would be proud of Rian Johnson here, but it definitely it's something different. And like, he's flying away really quick, and he says, you know, we are the spark that will light the fire. And then it cuts to a shot of him as he's shooting, flying through, you know, and it, you know, it's a quick action cuts of, you know, X-Wing fighting through stuff. It says, where am I at here? That will burn the First Order down.
Yeah, so maybe he's like, trailing gunfire.
Yeah.
Gunpowder. That's the word I'm looking for.
Man, this movie looks so well shot.
Now, I will tell you this. The best part is when he says that will burn the First Order down, like, he says that in person. Like, there's a shot of his face with him out not in his pilot gear saying that, that will burn the First Order down. And as soon as he says that, burn the First Order down, it cuts to Phasma in super shiny chrome, you know, chromium armor that shiny. Lights up. I know, it's beyond shiny, right?
There's fire like, everywhere, that's why.
Yeah.
I know, it's super shiny. She pulls out like a pike or something like that. And it's her,
it's a traitor torture stick.
Yeah, that's what it is. Traitor torture stick.
She's going to beat Finn to a pulp.
Now, I will say, this is actually really cool, like seeing her in this armor and stuff like that, standing out, like pulling out this pike type thing. And I will say, like, after reading the Phasma book, like, this shot is, like, way more impressive to me than I don't think it ever could have been if I had not read the Phasma book. So, again, this is a plug. Read the Phasma book. It's awesome. Look at the Phasma comics, which are good, too, but I think the book was better. But yeah, this is definitely something. You see that. And then we have Finn, who actually gets to say something. I'm really excited that Finn's in the trailer. Finn is wearing
he wakes
a...
up before episode 9.
Which he does. So, Finn is wearing a First Order uniform, is what it looks like. And we've heard spoilers, you know, kind of rumors a long time ago that he is going undercover with Rose. So that's kind of cool. But so he's in a First Order uniform, and he's got one of the First Order electric batons that we saw him fight when he had the lightsaber back on Taco Donna back in The Force Awakens. And he calls her, he says, come on, and he just takes it, hold on, I gotta show you guys this screenshot here. I have a screenshot of him, like, about to, like, just wail it at Phasma, and he's got his mouth just, like, wide open going, come on! Wait, it's the wrong screenshot.
That's, yeah.
I know, I can't post screenshots, but, like, that's this one right here. He's just like, come on, and she's coming right at him, and...
Man.
Like, she looks vicious. Movie, like,
does anyone great. Agree that this movie kind of, like, it just, like,
visually
looks better than anything we've ever seen in Star Wars?
That's why I felt like, it kind of felt bad, but didn't really, when you're like, oh, what did you think of the music? I'm like, I definitely noticed when it was, like, their use of silence versus their use of music, but, like, I was just so distracted
and then,
by the sight.
Does it not look like they're fighting in the area that Kylo Ren was looking out at?
Well, they totally are. I was about to say, like, in the back behind Phasma to the right, you can see these things holding at
the AT-ATs.
Yeah.
And there's
so
also, like...
later in that scene, so Kylo's probably up there just like, wow, this sucks.
Yeah, and there's also AT-STs, or maybe this is, like, at the end of the film, and it repeats just like what happened in The Force Awakens, Finn goes after to save Rey, because Rey is there. And then he runs into Phasma again, and one of them end up in a garbage chute this time. Wait, that happened last time, too. But...
All right.
A little too much repetition.
A little too much repetition there. But I do like that. Like, it does look like that.
It's beautiful, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's going to be a lot going on.
I'm totally with Caitlin on that. We both kind of observed this. It's just a very well-shot movie. It looks...
And can I just, like, point out, because we're talking about colors... Finn's kind of in a blue shadow. Mind you, that's part of because of the weapon he's wielding. But on Phasma's side, it's red and black.
Can you say that there's a little bit of blue lens flare from his weapon that's coming up? And you can see, like, it just kind of glowing out on him. So he's blue versus red and black. Yeah. Little Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader kind of action. Yeah.
Finn, I'm it's your mother! No!
The secondary characters, like... fighting, you know?
Yeah.
In the past, it's mainly been like, oh, like the secondary characters like lead a bunch of ships into battle or like whatever, which is great, but like this is like a one-on-one battle between two characters who aren't the leads.
Yeah. No, and I like this. Like, I hope that Phasma has... I feel like they set Phasma up to be a bigger role in the film. And I really hope so, because they have the book, the comic for her, like, in the... You know, the trail to The Last Jedi, like, they really talk up Phasma. And they talk up Leia, too. But Leia, I don't think, needed to be talked up at all, because it's Princess Leia. But they really talk her up, and they bring up a lot of things. And I think that's... And I hope that was done for a reason, not just that, like, oh, we want to sell more merchandise or something like that. But I really hope that her character is expanded in the film, because the backstory we got for her is just awesome. But after that fight, after Finn says, come on, it cuts back to some starship battle with BB-8. With BB-8, you know, through his little, you know, thing. And it looks like they got hit or something like that. And then while BB-8 is shaking it off, and BB-8 is speaking, you know, making noises at this time, Luke starts saying, "This is not going to go the way you think."
Do you think that's Lucasfilm promising the audience that it's not going to be a carbon copy of Empire Strikes Back?
Well, you know, here's the thing is, when he says it's not going to go the way you think, it's not going to go. It's like you actually see a shot like from the X-Wing going to Luke in rain in the rain, and he's all dark, and it, you know, it looks like they're still on Octu, I would assume, because it looks like the rocks and everything. So I don't know who he's talking to. He says, "This is not going to go the way you think." I don't know if he's talking.
Yeah. I feel like it's almost kind of like the Game of Thrones line, where it's like, if you think this has a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention. I don't know, something about it just gives me the same vibe.
I feel like he's actually talking to Kylo Ren at this point. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
I was going to say
that too, because it's raining in the flashback Force Awakens, and it's all rocky there too. So this might be part of when Kylo Ren comes to destroy the temple.
Yeah, what we've heard of the
conversation that we don't know about, you know.
Yeah. So I definitely see like it's not going to go, you know, the way you think.
In between
this, we also see two things before he says the way you think. We see the new animals that are on.
Oh my god!
The crystal foxes.
I want
right?
one.
How come they're not making toys of this? Like that would sell a crap ton.
Well,
maybe they're not featured enough. That's why.
I don't know. I'm just saying Phasma wasn't featured a lot. She's
also a sentient person. That sounds bad.
Yeah.
But side note, the okay, so.
So did you guys hear? So this, I called them crystalline foxes, but they're not really crystalline foxes. So
they're
someone
like
tweeted
slush
at
puppies.
Slush puppies. Well, I'll say this: Ryan Johnson. They asked, "Can you confirm that they are canine or feline?" And Ryan Johnson said they're crystalline. So,
nice.
And notice they're actually running into the base.
Yeah,
they're running into the base. So I feel like it's definitely something that the resistance use. But we actually saw them already in the trailer. The what do you call it? Previous trailer. The behind the scenes footage. I just posted a picture in our Discord chat.
They didn't. Oh,
yeah, these aren't CGI. Like these are animatronic. Which means, hold on, guys. You guys don't understand the implications of this. Which means these crystalline foxes can be walking around at Disneyland and Disney World for you to pet.
Oh.
Okay. So I'm gonna drop the mic and let you guys like just think about that for a second. Like that's what it could be. They can be there. You can pet. So we see them, which is really cool.
I expect toys kind of like the BB-8 where you can remote control them and they can walk around like an actual pet.
I will say the Sphero stuff is pretty awesome, like the BB-8 and the R2-D2 and the BB-9E Sphero like stuff, like it's pretty legit. I don't know if they'll do a walking one because it's different, but I'm sure that they, you know, there's something we'll see in real life. But beyond that, as they run in, we also see... Now this is where I'm confused, and I've watched this, you know, like I said, way too many times. So the lone figure you see, like you see them running into like a bunker, if you will, which I would say is the resistance base, and I think most people would agree it's the resistance base.
Well, especially with the red mountain in the background, like it.
Yeah, we know it's on that planet, and they're running away from the walkers and everything. But then the next scene before Luke says the way you think. There is a lone figure. All the crystalline foxes are past them already. There's nothing out there except like nothingness, because it's super bright. But you still see the kind of teeth of like the wall that's closing down. I think this back to like Echo Base when they like closed the doors when it was getting dark. Like
I was thinking,
if my buddy's still out there, then I'll see you and like you know close the blast doors. Like so, they're
is it
open
wrong
still.
That my brain goes to Jabba's palace first.
Or Jabba's Palace. So either one. Well, I'm trying to put... I originally thought Jabba's Palace 2 when I saw this, but at the same time, I'm thinking like Resistance Base, Rebel Base. Like, yeah, we've seen this in Rebel bases also. But Jabba's Palace also, like, they closed the doors. They had the same teeth type thing. But you look at, there's a lone figure there, and that looks like Luke to me.
It's, no, it's General Leia. Go to the next scene. Because she's wearing that really high cowled thing, and in the background it's white.
There's sort of like a
crenellation door coming down.
Yeah, the teeth of the wall behind her. I would.
Yeah, and we've also seen the. Okay, I think you just nailed it for me. Yeah, I guess that's right because it looks like it's a close up shot of it. You can see the teeth behind her, and it's the bright light and everything. She's looking out, and it's like, oh no, they're here. You know, so I can see, you know, that happening.
Oh,
but
man. Carrie Fisher's face. Oh my gosh, she's gonna give a killer performance in this. I'm so excited.
Maybe killer's not the right word.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't thinking about that, okay? I was like, she's gonna...
Too soon, Ben. Too soon. Too soon. Like, you are so insensitive.
Wow. You know what?
That's all right. I understand. It's hard. It's, you know, it's hard to... like, because we're just seeing this, like, I will be honest, like, it didn't hit me till like, the second or third viewing of it that I realized that Carrie Fisher's not going to be around for the next one. Like, when I saw it, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's Leia and everything. Like, and it hit me. Like when I was looking at, like, Kylo Ren shooting at her in the beginning of it, I was just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then, like, and again, it's hard because Carrie Fisher and Princess Leia are two different people, obviously. But I will say that Princess Leia has a lot of Carrie Fisher in her, like, as real personality. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, when she played Princess Leia, she was playing herself a little bit. But it's one of those, but it's one of those things where, like, Princess Leia is still alive right now. Right. We don't know what's going to happen in December.
I think this is, but it's also a different, it's going to be a different Leia because this is like Leia in grief, like from Han's death for like a whole, but also leading the resistance at the same time, you know, like, so we're going to get a lot of multifaceted, like, layers to the Leia we already know from like the previous trilogy.
But at the same time, we've seen Leia grieve slash not grieve or have reason to grieve, but still carry on and not show it.
Yeah, when her planet died, you know.
Yeah, all of Alderaan and
but her parents. Especially in this close up of like her as the lone figure, whatever. She starts to turn her head. This look on her face is so intense. I'm like, I can't wait to see like what contextually like she's reacting to in scenes and stuff like that. You know.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you.
No, well, because we know that Luke's out in a snow planet and Han Solo's not there to put him into a Tauntaun.
There you go. But moving on past this, he says, this is not going to go the way you think. And then it cuts to a shot of Rey diving into the water and then climbing out of the water. And then when she's out of the water, you can see her looking at Luke, and Luke is in a dark outfit. It looks really dark Jedi, like evil style Luke, if you will, like the dark outfit that's in. And it's there for just a split second. Like, it really is. But that's right when Snoke's line for Phil comes in. And then it cuts to Finn, and obviously the music is ominous. And you see the First Order being like super powerful. And then he says, and then it cuts to him at the end, says, Destiny. Where it's just, you know, that kind of, like, ridiculous Snoke.
And just to comment, again, the scene where it has, like, the First Order, in the background, it's the exact same place where Finn and Phasma fight. Like, you can see the AT-M6s. Right. It looks like there's chicken walkers there, too.
Yeah, the AT-STs. And actually, just if you look at the top level. And when you see Finn walking through it, it doesn't look like he's really a prisoner. It looks like he's undercover.
Maybe he like pretends to rejoin the First Order as like a double agent or something. And that's
well, remember like a year and a half ago, we got who was supposed to be in it? And the rumor is like he slaps John Boyega's, you know, buttocks. And like a, you know, a good game style thing. Like, I'm trying to remember who it was. I don't remember, but it was pretty somewhat significant. Like, who was making a cameo as a stormtrooper, and says like good game essentially to Finn, who like is infiltrating the resistance. Like, you can see he looks like he's walking in there in resistance gear coming in, and then it cuts to obviously TIE fighters being destroyed, the walkers again, the ski starfighters that are on the ground that are leaving that red line behind, and then it's like really good close up of Snoke, which, man, like Snoke in his gold, and everything looks just amazing. Like, it's just done so
Snoke
well.
Yeah, Snoke looks really good.
But you see, he's reaching out and says "fulfill," and then he says "your destiny." Now he's reaching out, and then it's a shot of Rey with him in the background, and Rey's obviously like kind of floating in the air, being held. We don't know if she's being tortured or what, but it's definitely interesting there because it talks about destiny, and then it cuts to black.
And because now, behind her, where like he would be reaching for it, you do see gold something.
Yeah.
That could be Rose.
Well, I think he's probably sitting in his little throne like the action figure, but not as weirdly as the action
figure. Not with his legs straight out.
Yeah, right.
So I'll tell you this, before we get to the last lines of the trailer, because this is the last words of Snoke. So like, if you look at Snoke's lines before, "When I found you, I saw raw, untamed power, and beyond that, something truly special. Fulfill your destiny," is like his whole line. It's like all the lines that Snoke says in the trailer. At, you know, when you put that together, it looks like he's talking to Rey, the get-go. Like that's what he's not talking about Kylo, "When I found you." He's talking about Rey all the way through. Do you guys agree? Like, that was the first inclination. Like, I talked to Dano after the trailer dropped, like 10:30, we're talking back and forth. Mm. And like, when we looked at it, we both broke it down. We're like, he's talking to Rey by itself. But I'm also thinking about, like, what if he's talking to Luke again? "When I found you, I saw raw, untamed power, and beyond that, something truly special. Fulfill your destiny." Again, Luke is supposed to have a destiny too, but so is Rey, and so is Ben.
Maybe we right? could like, argue that. What if like Kylo Ren's there with her, and he's talking to both?
Maybe.
You know,
it could be. But here's the thing: is it could be so many things. Like Snoke, again, if Snoke is this mastermind who built up the First Order from the ashes of the Empire that, you know, Palpatine set up, you know, it's one of those things where he was also afraid of Luke Skywalker. He's like, they can never get to the Last Jedi, but you know, it can definitely be, if he's afraid of Luke, when he says, "I found you, I saw raw, untamed power," like, you know, the found part is what kind of tells me that it's not talking about Luke, but it doesn't mean that he didn't find him, because remember, we know that Princess Leia says it was Snoke talking to Ben all the time. Snoke's the one who corrupted Ben. So maybe Snoke and Luke have some type of history together, too.
Well, and because, how do I word what I'm trying to say? Because he says found, right? And I feel like in this, found is like, if you put it in the theory that he somehow gets a hold of Rey, I feel like found is not the proper word for what happened, but that's not to say that he's not referring to back when she was a child.
Okay.
Because we still don't know who dropped her on Jakku.
We'd have to rewatch the scene in Force Awakens where Snoke reacts to Kylo Ren telling him about.
He says, this, "What girl?"
This girl.
Yeah.
Well, Kylo Ren says that, but then he tells Snoke about her. And then he's like, "If what you say is true, bring her to me." So, like, maybe he knows who she is, but maybe he doesn't, you know? I don't know if it's super clear yet.
So, yeah. So, Snoke says that, "Fulfill your destiny," at the end, which is definitely the climax of the trailer. And it's really, really exciting. You're like, oh my gosh. And then it goes to black. And then you have Rey speaking. Over black. There's no one screen. "I need someone." With a little of the force sling there that you were complaining about, Ben. And then it comes to her. And then she says, "To show me my place in all this." And then it cuts to a shot of Ben Solo, Kylo Ren, without a mask on, with the scar, and the tape is gone. You know, the band-aid's gone now. It's just the scar.
It's all better.
And he's like breathing heavily, thinking about it. And then it cuts to a shot of a hand raising. And then it cuts to Star Wars The Last Jedi. Now, this is where my argument is. Like, her line is, I need someone to show me the place in all this. It's over black, right? Except when she says, to show me my place in all this. The background looks like the rocks, right? It looks like she's still on the island. She's wearing the vest that was from at the end of Force Awakens. You know, that's what it looks like still, at least to me. But there is definitely orange light there. You know, there's orange light, like a firelight, if you will, or something. And then when you cut to Kylo Ren, it's also orange light. But here's where the difference lies. In her shot, it's completely just her with light, no fire, no sparks, no nothing. And then to him, there is smoke and fire and sparks falling down and all sorts of different things. It looks like Kylo Ren's hand completely, because if you look at it, there is a ember falling down from him, like from the top right. And then when it, you know, as it's falling down further, it cuts to his hand, and that same ember is falling down. So I would say, that is him raising his hand. But is he raising his hand to someone else? Is he raising his hand to Luke?
I'm totally with you on this. I think, like, a plot point this big, they would not give away in a trailer. So, like...
Except they said don't... Like, and here's the thing, is this is like a... This is definitely a Lucasfilm, like, we don't want to spoil stuff. We want to spoil stuff. Like, as a joke, like, they said, well, don't watch the trailer if you don't want to be spoiled for a plot point. Well,
yeah, but, like, but that's Lucasfilm saying we want more trailer views than it.
Yeah, that's kind of it. Like, don't watch
trailer. If they tell you not to do something, you're going to go do it.
So.
Overall. But maybe, I guess, let's say he is extending his hand to Rey. We don't know necessarily. Like, what if she's like, just kidding, and then like slices his hand off or something, you know?
One of them have to lose their hand, because somebody has to lose their hand in the second film.
Exactly, yeah.
Luke lost it, Anakin lost it.
But it's also like, maybe she's just like, you know. Because he tells her at the end of the last movie, like, I can show you the ways of the Force. And she's like, oh yeah, okay, so like, the offer's on the table, yeah, okay, cool. Then just
still
like,
there, yeah.
You know, and just like, deals him a new one. It's like, that's for Han. And then that's, you know,
hand written for and
directed
Han.
By Rian Johnson.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just speaking about the light on her face versus Kylo, the other reason why it makes it look from a different scene, because the light on her face is steady, whereas his flickers with the fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it's definitely meant at first glance meant to be one coherent scene.
Yeah, but it is not.
Yeah, it's definitely cut together, and I would say that's trailer magic. But again, we could be wrong, you never know. Like, they could be across the divide, just like they were in, you know, the chasm on Starkiller Base. Who knows? And that would, you know, differentiate the difference in lighting. But that was the end of the trailer, and then it comes up with Star Wars The Last Jedi. Tickets available now. And you all know my feelings on the tickets.
Also, can I, like... Everybody automatically was like, oh, the bandage on Kylo Ren's face. I actually thought that was, like, the repair job of the scar. Like, I thought, like, oh, well, since you have some broken skin, let's add some, like, mechanics thing to it. So, I don't know. That was, I guess, just a blonde moment. But I thought I'd share.
You thought the band-aid was like,
yeah,
let's make you more like Vader.
So this is even worse. I remember somebody saying, like, wow, I wonder what happens to his face in this movie that makes him need a band-aid. And I'm like, so like,
it's just when I saw that, I was like, oh my, like, that's like their version of stitches. Like, it looks like they peeled back his
too.
Yeah, like, it looked like they kind of stuck like a chipboard in his.
Yeah.
Wound. God knows what it was for, but I was like, oh, so that's, I guess they just decide to fill in the crack in his face with what looks like a computer chip, but you know.
Well, you know, you have to remember, there's also like, in the world of Star Wars, there's Bacta and stuff like that heals, and there's also, you know, I'm looking through the trailer right now, like the before shots when he had it on his face, like when he was in the ship and stuff. But you know, it could be like a special bandage that helps heal it, because remember he was cut with a lightsaber, which would have cauterized and left, you know, some pretty big damage on his face at the time, right?
Well, I have no doubt it's a band-aid. I just thought it'd be a fun, like, weird thing to point out that I just assumed that that was now a permanent aspect of his face. And not just a band-aid. But everybody else immediately was like, oh, it's a band-aid.
Yeah, no, I just assumed it was like a band-aid. Well, I assumed it was a band-aid because at the end of the trailer, he's got a pretty gnarly scar. Like, the scar is very visible. But it's healed, like by the eye it's healed, in the middle of the cheek it's kind of healed. Like, it's, you know, I'm sure he'll have a permanent scar or something. I can't imagine them saying, like, oh, there's no scar permanently, but I don't think it's going to be, like,
the scar looks
his
cool.
Face open. Because scars are cool. Girls like scars.
It's a permanent reminder on his face of that time he got his butt handed to him.
By Rey.
Yeah, someone who's untrained. General. I feel like anybody, it could have been just humiliating because he's like, I'm the best and angstiest of all. And then Rey's like, that's cute. Slashes his face open. You know, it's.
Maybe. Yeah. Anyway, so that was the trailer. And I think next week, guys, I want to talk about theories behind the trailer as our spotlight topic. Because we just went shot by shot, line by line, through the entire trailer. Hopefully. We
for
shed
almost
some
2 hours.
I know, right?
So
anyway,
you're saying like a revive or like, because we've done Last Jedi theories, right?
So yeah, like, but now a revise, or maybe a revised theories, because we're gonna have Danya back next week, and we'll have a. Cool. I want to get her initial thoughts on the trailer. So before we do the outro, overall, I feel like we can all say that we all like the trailer a lot since we watched it 120 million times. That was just like you and me, right?
Yep.
Y'all liked it? Yeah?
Right.
Anyone have, like, saying, like, you know, I was really disappointed in XYZ from the trailer?
Yes, I wanted to see Rose.
Okay. So, a little
more exciting in the movie.
We didn't see Rose. Okay. Well, I'll take that. And we can talk about maybe why she wasn't showing up next week. All right, guys. Well, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. As always, I am Mikey B.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Ben.
I'm Brack.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
And also with you.